In the book of 1 Corinthians is where we would pick up a story about communion. And so we will typically read this every Sunday, and I'll just want to read it here quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 26, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So this morning, as always, we're here to just lift up the name of Jesus. We're here to remember what he did on the cross for us. We're here to make sure we got our lives correct and in line with him. And so if you're here this morning and you actually haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you that opportunity in a few moments. But I want to look at some scriptures here together. And so I want to invite you again to turn with me in your Bibles. This morning, maybe you're here, and I apologize, in the balcony, you don't have this opportunity, but there is in front of you under a chair, there are some Bibles there. And if you turn it to page 799, because I came here last night and looked it up, this is Romans chapter 6 is where I want to land. So the message, we're going to stay there the whole time. Romans chapter 6. And so again, in most Bibles, mine's 866, 799 in the pulpit Bible, though, for fun. You can follow along. I want to read the scripture because I think it illuminates or it sheds light on what we're doing this morning. We're very grateful for the time to commune together, very grateful to remember what Jesus did on the cross, and we're very grateful to be obedient to what Jesus asked us to do, to baptize people, and maybe not all of us know that story, and so we're going to just kind of look at some of those moving parts. So Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at 1 to 4 to start with. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that the grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? For don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our God and Father, we too may live a new life." And so what we say in water baptism often is that we might even say these words out loud. We say, "Die to yourself, and when you come out of the water, live for Christ." And so what we're saying is, die to your will, your agenda, you behind the wheel. You know, so often we want to control our lives, right? You know, I actually really like a little bit of control in my life. And so I have to, okay, yeah, I got to let the Lord have control of, you know, really even his church. Honestly, as the pastor, I can't just control the church, right? I got to let God allow it to direct the church. And so it's the same with you and I. So when we go down into the water, what we're saying is that basically, as Jesus Christ physically died, we are dying. I promise I won't hold you there too long. You know, for those that have like a lot of sin, you know, like, you know, actually last year we had to go out to the lake and we dunked somebody, and then they did this. They put their head up. So their head didn't get wet. I said, "You got to get wet." And then I double dunked them. You know, it was a double blessing. I think that's scripturally if we find that, right? But we need to go down because that's physically showing us that actually underwater, and I apologize for those that have, you know, had some traumatic experiences, like, we know what that's like. We could die there. And so when we die to ourselves, like we are done. We're done. And when we come back out of the water, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm a new creation, it says. I'm brand new. I want to live for Jesus Christ. I have a new life. And so outwardly, sometimes we don't really see that though, right? Like you got your makeup on and you got your whatever, and then we dunk, you come out. There's not much change, right? You're still the same guy, still recognizable. But what happens internally dramatically change. I think many of us could attest to that this morning that have been water baptized. You kind of lived a certain life and you were like, you know, I was pretty good. I went to church, kind of knew some of the moving parts, was, you know, tried to serve God and be generous, all these kind of things. But when I was baptized, pow, there was an experience that just radically changed you. And you can't explain it away. I can't physically see the change in you. But your actions, your attitude, your mindset, the way that you began to live after that was very different, wasn't it? Do many of you share the story that they were like, "Hey, I knew you prior to baptism," and then you meet with the people again later on in life, and they're like, "What happened?" And you're like, "I don't know. You know, this God thing happened in my life." And you're a different person, right? So let's look at some more of this verse here. So we'll go from verse 5 to 7. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Like again, we're going to come back to life, a new life, born again. For we know that our old selves was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So we used to be, and I'm guilty of this, I don't know if anybody else was, but prior to salvation, prior to Jesus, prior to baptism, I was a slave to things that were just really ungodly. I just kept going back. I want to break free of this. And then the next day you wake up and you go back to that same thing. You think, New Year's resolution. Then I go back to the same problem. I think, what's wrong? And so I found Jesus, though, and I found baptism. I never went back again because God set me free, and that's what he can do for you and I. We're dying to our old ways, our old self, so that we can live for him. That's just a wonderful thought there. Verse 8 to 10 here. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery or hold over him anymore. The death he died to sin once for all. That the life he lives for God. And so when we think about Jesus, like that was a lot of years ago. Like that was thousands of years ago. I don't know Jesus. I wasn't there. I've read about it. But what Jesus did there on that cross is every sin prior for humanity, every single person prior to Jesus on the cross, and every sin in the future that you and I are going to commit, he died once for all of that. So you can't sit here today and go, well, I don't know, that Jesus, that was a bit of an old school, Old Testament guy. I'm not sure what he has, you know, how that applies to me today. Well, actually, he died for you. He died for your sin. He died for the mistakes he knew you were going to make, and unfortunately, you're going to make in the future. I'm guilty of that. Like, I don't intentionally think this way, but I still have like another 50 years in the tank. Like I'm probably going to sin at least once more, I think, in life, and Jesus died for that. So praise God. I'm not looking forward to sinning. I apologize if it hurts people, but you know, we know that God is gracious and he's loving and we're okay. Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. This word therefore in your Bible, always just like a big highlight because it's going to kind of recap a lot of this. Don't let the sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. You're free from that now. Don't offer the parts of your bodies to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of, not again of sin and wickedness, but offer them as righteousness. Offer them up to God. For sin shall not be your master any longer because you are not under law, but you are under grace. You were bought at a very high price. Again, sometimes we don't understand that God looked down at you and I, looked down at humanity and said, they're separated from me and I want to be in relationship with them. Have you ever had a family member or a coworker, somebody related to you, all of a sudden there was just this tension and when you met with them, you're like, there's just this kind of like rubbing of shoulders, there's just this up, like you want to resolve that. You were like, I'll do anything I can to resolve that relationship. Well, God had that. He said, look, my people that are made in my image, they're separated from me. What can I do? I'll send my son down. Like, that's giving it all. Like, that's a high price he paid. He came down and he didn't just like, oh, I'll just, you know, slap the devil around and that kind of stuff. Like, no, he hung on a cross. He was beaten and whipped and bleeding and just took his last breath for you. And so what do we do in response? That's a high price that he gave so that we could be free. And how do we treat that? Do we kind of, well, that's nice. Thank you, Lord. That was very nice of you to do that. Like, that's serious. Like, that's a big sacrifice. And so I want to honor God. I want to say thank you, Jesus, for doing that. In verse 15, we pick up, but then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to somebody to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one to whom you obey. Rather, you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. I want to be obedient to God's word, as hard as it is sometimes. But thanks be to God, because of all of that, even as difficult as that might be, thanks be to God, that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. The teaching of God's word, we obey that, and it completely transforms us. Verse 18, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You can see, like when I play video games back in the day, you're going along and all of a sudden, you know, it's not working out. You can hit reset you know, you start again, right? Things aren't working out for you. On your computer, there's sometimes a virus or something. You can kind of bring somebody in or pay a lot of money. Boom, they're going to clean it up for you. So it's back to the way it was supposed to be. It was the way it was designed to be. So you can't sit here today and say, you know what, I'm actually damaged. The things that have happened to me have taken me away from God. The decisions that I made have taken me far from Jesus. No, God is saying, I can clean all of that out. I can make you back. I can restore you to the way that I've designed you to be. And that's refreshing, because without that, I'm hooped, and I don't know how you're feeling. But thank God that he wants us to be obedient to him, and he's given us every tool that we would need to do that because of what he did on the cross for us. Verse 19, we'll just finish off with this final thought here, and then we'll move into communion and everything else we got to do this morning. And we're doing okay for time, I think. Verse 19, I put this in human terms because you are meek in your natural selves. Now, be gentle. This is Paul. He's trying to correct people very lovingly, but it's super funny when he says that. You know, I'm putting this in human terms because you're weak and you can't even understand these kind of things. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. But what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. You know, eternal life in heaven. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And what does it cost you? When we say, you know, it's going to cost you something. Well, it's free, but it's going to cost you everything. You have to give your complete selves to the Lord. You can't kind of go in the water and be like half dead. Like, you actually have to die to all of it and then live for Christ. You can't say, God, you can have this part of my life, but you can't have that part of my life. You have to give it all to him. And it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost you anything. It does cost you what you're going to do and how you're going to pursue him and follow him. So praise God that just in one chapter in the Bible, there's that much explanation. There's that much information to really teach us and give us wisdom. So thank the Lord for that.